We now convene Monday, June 27, 2005, session of the House Special Committee on Budget, Subcommittee on Human Services and Public Safety. Today, we're going to be reviewing House Bill 5167 and 5168. It's work sessions, although we probably won't move these bills out until tomorrow. So let's convene first our work session on 5167. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Again, there should be two. I handed out Friday morning two documents or a packet of documents for you. A memo, as you've noticed before with my work session, plus the worksheets. I'll be working off both of them. Some of them have the budget notes. The others has the budget detail. There are a couple typos in the memo, and I'll mention the first one. Which is under the on the first page on the table of the memo, the LFO recommended column, the FTE there, the last number in that last column should be 1013.78. When I inserted it, I did a transformation, and that agrees with the numbers that you would be passing anyways. This is a rather large budget. It is the last large budget you have in this subcommittee. I think actually there's only one more budget that you have not heard that's sort of been allocated to the subcommittee, and that's the Board of Investigators, and we are still waiting for a policy bill to move on that one. State Police has a variety of duties. The numbers you see today is the OSP budget, Oregon State Police, without the units that were proposed to be transferred by the governor into the new Office of Homeland Security. The plan as of now states is that those units, the fire marshal, the Office of Emergency Management, and the Criminal Justice Services Division will be folded into this budget tomorrow, and before you leave today, I'll hand out the work papers for that. It's much smaller than what you have in front of you today for the state police. The major changes between what we are putting forward today and the governor's recommended budget are, first of all, a reversal in the funding that the governor proposed to be lottery funds, assumed to be line game increases, to offset the general fund and the patrol division and the Fish and Wildlife Division. Both the co-chair plans had called for changing or doing a switch back to general fund for that. And then using the lottery funds elsewhere, which is more appropriate to the use of lottery funds, because some people had raised questions whether this actually met some of the either statutory or constitutional requirements for the use of lottery funds. The governor, there's also a recommendation to reverse the governor's proposal to reduce by 21 the number of detectives and major crime and major drug teams. The budget agrees with the governor's recommendation. I'm on the top of page 2 of the memo to increase the number of detectives by 8 and also a forensic scientist who related to the meth problem or the meth initiative. COPs are in this budget. Proposed to purchase 171 new intoxilizers. The current set of intoxilizers are quite old. When they break down, they stay broken for a while. They're not easy to repair, and I'm not even sure if they can get spare parts for them. So this has been a relatively high priority to replace those. And since that, since a defense or the prosecution, excuse me, of DUI cases rely on the results of these, they are pretty important investments. I will talk in detail about the identification services unit when we get to that point. There's a general fund backfill in this program, in this plan, to assist that program. There's also the second bill on the agenda addresses that in terms of ratification or approval of fees that have already been increased. And finally, there are reductions in this in past biennial budgets and actions proposed in governor's budget, which I'll go over, that have really left some key gaps in programs that are out there. These are filled from resources elsewhere in actions taken by the subcommittee or the subcommittee before, and also in a cut in the number of patrol troopers. This budget is able to partially backfill some of those issues, and I will outline those as you go through the materials in front of you. And, Mr. Chair, I will move forward with patrol services, which is the first one.
Okay.
I would like to transfer to the tables that were handed to you. And this is, in terms of personnel, one of the larger divisions. I think everyone understands the role of the patrol division and primarily responsible for enforcing traffic safety, DUI, truck safety, motor carrier regulation, and a number of other responsibilities and enforcement of laws and regulations. They're also key in, as they stop vehicles, they also play key roles in other enforcement laws. If you start taking a look at the packages, package 090 was the governor's or the governor's analyst adjustments, and the major factor here was the transfer of what has been the case in general fund for patrol troopers and transferring that funding to lottery for 300 troopers, as I mentioned before. That will be reversed later as we walk through this division. Package 101, which is actually on the top of the next page, the detail. This package, and it was proposed by the governor, eliminates 14 positions, including 8 cadets positions and 5 sergeants. These were positions that had not been filled. They were proposed by the governor. They are moving away from the use of cadets that started last biennium, or this current biennium's budget, and they continue to move forward in eliminating the role of cadets, and the 5 sergeants didn't work into their management structure. So the savings from those had already been used in the governor's budget and partially are used to move monies toward the temporary employees, where they do hire, instead of using cadets, they do hire a number of retired troopers to fund more seasonal in nature responsibility and other non-traditional responsibilities in this division and other divisions.
Wasn't that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, I don't remember what's the cadet. I don't remember that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisner, a cadet is someone that hasn't necessarily, if I'm right, gone through the trooper school, but does have some training and is not a full-fledged trooper. If you'd like clarification, some of the agency may be able to help with that, but they have used them in the past for, enforcing their contracts with the state parks, the people patrolling state parks, but they have not traditionally used them for the basic law enforcement responsibilities of the department.
Thank you.
They are, I think, similar to cadet or reserve programs that the sheriffs might have, or they're similar to that, but not the same. Package 102 establishes a position in the towing and pound program. There's a fee increase. This is also part of that second bill, a minor portion of that. It's a fee increase from $25 to $40 to fully fund a position. This had been done by numerous people out in the field. They had centralized it and have found out that the fee revenue that was coming in will fund this position. This fee has already been increased, but you do need to ratify its increase for it to continue in 05-07.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, is that a uniformed officer performing that function?
Mr. Chair, and I did not mention this in package, I believe it was 090 that I should have also packaged. When the governor is putting together his budget, he transferred or reclassed all the positions in the patrol division to trooper positions to keep the number of trooper positions up. There are, I believe, 5 positions plus this position that are really not appropriate to be sworn officers. Our recommendation is to reclass those positions back to where they are appropriate. That position does not need to be a trooper position to administer it. I believe they're recommending it to be a program rep 1 position.
Just a brief follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Mr.
I just didn't understand what Program Rep 1. So Program Rep 1 is a...
It's a specific, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, a specific classification. It is used for a variety of positions throughout state government. It's usually, you know, if there's a program, and it's hard to be honest, a set, it's not an office specialist or an admin specialist, slightly higher than that in classification responsibilities.
Thank you.
Package 801 are our typical...
Representative Wisnett.
For Mr. Wilson, that wouldn't... Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, that wouldn't save any money. That reclassification doesn't save any.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnett, no, it wouldn't, because they had to reclassify all those trooper positions. What they ended up doing was stealing money from the overtime, not stealing, that the state police, probably not appropriate word. They had transferred from some of the categories like shift differential or overtime into the salary line. This action would reverse that and put it back into overtime. And given that this is a 24-hour operation and it's rather limited role or ability to staff everything 24 hours, overtime is a very important part of this budget.
Thank you.
801 is a typical PERS and AG adjustments. It is a decrease in the PERS rate, and I better carefully word this because someone keeps reminding me of this, that it is an increase in the AG rate, but a decrease from what the governor had proposed. 811, package 811, you'll see one of these in almost every division. It is a number of what we'll call technical adjustments, but I want to make sure you understand what's in each of them. In this case, it is the allocation of the smart buy savings across the divisions, and also the reallocation of rent from the Human Services Division, which is going to be renamed the Admin Services Division, to the various divisions. And since the Patrol Division is who is really out there in the field and staffs and is the staff that uses the regional and local offices, the largest shift of the rent is to the Patrol Division. That allocation of rent across the agencies has a zero impact across the entire department in terms of general fund. Package 812 is a recognition of what the department would like to do in terms of their staffing of the field and the costs of the field. Currently, in terms of the budget, all the field administration, both the command structure as well as the support positions in the field, are in the Human Resources Division. But they almost exclusively, mostly, really rest in the various divisions, mostly in the Patrol Division. So what this package does is take those expenditures and the staff from the Human Resources Division and moves them out to Patrol, Criminal Services, or the Fish and Wildlife. Again, most of that moves to the Patrol Division. What they're trying to do is line up where the budget is with where the decisions for the spending of that money is. So it lines it up. Again, there is not a general fund impact to the entire budget. In addition, in this case, there are also 15 positions funded or transferred, from the Criminal Division to the Patrol Division to line up the management structure. And these 15 positions have to do with the Dignitary Protection Unit, which is mostly the unit that that is the security unit for the governor, as well as the Capitol Mall and Capitol Building security, the folks that you see in this building and around the mall. Those folks are now being managed by the Patrol Division command structure. So they're moved. Again, this is not an impact to the entire budget, it's only the impact between the divisions. And so that represents the $2.3 million transfer in the other funds that you see there. Package 813 is probably the one package that will provide the a significant amount of headaches to a number of people. This program eliminates 20 troopers and their SNS. That is a $3 million cut. And this partially fills a number of holes in the rest of the department that I'll talk about in the long The total reduction of the 20 troopers is $3 million. And then what is done in this plan is add back in various locations to fill service and supply holes, double fill holes, and other holes that are throughout the budget, which I'll review when we get to there. So what you see here is really a $3 million reduction associated with a decline in the number of troopers, and then another $1 million being reinvested into this division to cover S&S holes for the net of the $2 million reduction.
Would it be possible at this point to hear from the department how this might affect them and how they're going to... Because I guess I'm seeing 20 road troopers off the road, 20 troopers off the road, and I didn't find them replaced anywhere, and I'm just wondering how that's going to be used. Is that possible, or do you want to wait till the end? Or
let's wait till we get through, so if we have other questions, we can give them.
I have a follow-up question.
President Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, when we look at that 20 reduction, how do we then get a 31 position increase out of LFO's recommendation?
You have the addition, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, of 51 positions in the package above that, which is that transfer.
Okay, because because of the transfer, but that's not net new
that's
positions.
Not a net new positions to the department. What you're seeing, what you're looking at, I believe on the other sheet, was just for the patrol division.
Right.
So you're seeing a decline of 20, an increase of 51, and then there are some other changes, the cadet positions, the five sergeants that were in, I think, package 101.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
So again, Doug, the package eliminates 20 troopers. Those 20 troopers are not from patrol?
Those are from patrol.
Yet when we look in patrol, we're plus 31. I still can't get that math done.
Well, you have a reduction of the 20 in this package in 813. You have the addition in package 812 of 51. There are also reductions in, so that's a net of 29. There's also reductions in package 101, and there's also some transfers in 102 and in 101 also. So hopefully the math works, because they're supposed to in these worksheets.
Okay.
And then finally, the last package is, or two more packages, Mr. Chair, members. 814 is the 3% reduction in the general fund, S&S, and capital outlay. It is a relatively smaller number here, because originally the governor's budget had most of this as lottery funds, so that the reduction was minimized here. And finally, on page 14 of 41, the last page of the patrol division, that is that transfer back from the governor's proposed lottery funding and putting it back into general fund. Those are the numbers, Mr. Chair, for this division. If you return to the memo, on page 3, there's a budget note that all these budget notes, again, have been approved by the co-chairs. And, in fact, all of them have been approved by both the House and Senate co-chairs. The first is not a budget note. The first bullet is just a recognition that there's still the funding that's increased, the $1 million for S&S, still does not fully fund the S&S needs of this division, mainly because of the increase in gas prices. In the joint subcommittee, there was some discussion about gas prices, and if I remember across the entire department, the gas prices at that time, which were, I believe, slightly higher than they are today, were going to cost the agency, I think, about $1.4, $1.5 million more than what was in the budget. So it still does not fully fund the gas, you know, the effect of gas prices increases. And there are other problems with services and supplies that are partially filled. There are budget notes, the second bullet. This is a budget note that instructs the Department of Administrative Services, with the assistance of our office, to study the potential benefits and costs and impacts of transferring the patrol division functions, all or a part of those functions, to the county sheriffs across the state. There was some discussion about this in the joint subcommittee, and I remember the superintendent coming forward in his part of the presentation discussing some of the consequences and impacts of doing that. Also, at the bottom of this budget note, you'll notice that there's also a study requested, again by DAS and LFO, to look at the same cost, benefits, and impacts of transferring the responsibilities of the Fish and Wildlife Enforcement Division to ODFW, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, or other state agency. Oregon is one of the only few, I think one of two states that have the state police handling fish and wildlife also, but in terms of the benefits of that, is that it puts another 120 roughly trained troopers on the road in rural Oregon because they also not only enforce fish and game, they also enforce other laws across the state. But those are existing staff and aren't related to the 20 that were eliminated in this program. So though that is the budget note, it's really two budget notes. And even though it doesn't say this, the budget report will say that they are to report back, meaning DAS, and with the assistance of ourselves, to the next legislature on the results of this study. And we'll add that to the budget report to make sure it's reflected.
Mr. Boone?
Yeah, thank you. And that's, I guess, I had another concern with that budget note piece because coming into this committee late as I was, not having heard that discussion, I was curious about that and maybe ask a little bit about that. But I was going to say something about the transferring to the Fish and Wildlife, because I remember some years ago, I don't remember which session, 01 or 03, there was discussion of more Fish and Wildlife or troopers that do game enforcement, because the reasoning was that people responded better to someone in uniform, and especially out in the rural areas, and they were kind of double duty, because when you see the white pickup truck that says Oregon State Police, maybe they're game enforcement, but maybe they're road patrol. Nobody really knows they're state police, and they're in a uniform, and I think they're well respected that way, and I think they made a big impact, at least in my tiny corner of the state. So,
Representative Hanna?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think, let me back up to the earlier joint committee. We had discussions about the review of county sheriffs taking over patrol type duties around the state, and Senator Gordley was one of those who asked to see what that type of activity might look like. But the second to third of this, or the bottom third of this budget note about fish and game, this is the first I think we've had any discussion around that piece of it, and it's new to that discussion, to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we have heard any information to indicate that was part of the study. So I'm interested to know where that piece showed up from in terms of being part of that budget note.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hanna, this budget note, or this two-part budget note, came via the co-chairs and the vice chairs of Ways and Means.
It's a study. It's not a proposal. So, okay.
And I think Mr. Chair, Representative Boone is right in terms of the role of the Fish and Wildlife. In other states, they're uniformed officers often, but they do not have full responsibility or full training as well as full enforcement authority, because these are state troopers. Mm-hmm. Many of them have been patrol troopers at one time that have moved into the Fish and Wildlife or back and forth, and they can pull over speeders, they can pull over drunk drivers, and they do. And when you get to the Fish and Wildlife budget, you'll see that there's general fund or lottery funds in that budget to pay for that portion of their time.
Mm-hmm. And a follow-up to Mr. Wilson, and I guess my concerns are basically with that instead of reducing, we should be either double duty or adding positions as troopers, because if we're going to be doing all these other changes in our overall budgets and addressing a lot of the problems, like the meth problem. It won't do any good to increase what we're going to do with them on this end if we can't get them in the first place. So,
again, Mr. Chair, this is a study, and there's no call for moving any of these at this time. It is a study that the next 2007 legislature will hear the results of if this budget continues.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, that completes the patrol division discussion.
Okay, there's a question remaining as far as the adjustment that the agency will have to make if they lose 20 troopers, and so if we can get that issue addressed, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ron Ricker. I'm the superintendent of the state police. I appreciate the opportunity to address the question. The bottom line is it will be a reduction of 20 road officers in the state, people that are doing patrol work today. Those positions go away with a reduction of $3 million out of patrol. It's true there are other adjustments of shifting people we already have doing other work in the department under the umbrella of another division. That work is being transferred into the patrol division, but it's the same people doing the same work now reporting to the patrol division director rather than the division director they report to today. So what looks like a net increase in the size of the patrol division by the 51 will in fact still be a reduction of 20 uniformed officers on the road, because when you take $3 million out of the budget, you've got 20 fewer people. That is the bottom line. This I addressed in testimony with the subcommittee, which has frankly been a pattern that we've been in, unfortunately, for a great many sessions in the legislature dating back to 1980 when the agency came out, the patrol division funding came out of the Highway Trust Fund. And that is that biennium after biennium, there have been incremental reductions in the number of trooper positions. And because I'm not sure why, but in my closing testimony with the subcommittee, I asked the committee and the legislature not to basically fall victim to the temptation to take money out of what looks like a big line item and a place where you can make reductions to fill other needs in the organization, and we have them. But that's in fact what is occurring here. We will have what we had, 329 authorized patrol trooper positions in this biennium. We would have 309 of those people going into the next biennium, but then you would add to that number these other people with other duties. They're not patrol division duties, or I mean not typical road patrol duties, whose positions are coming into the division, but who they will not be providing road patrol services.
Can I ask
Representative Boone?
I don't know how to address you, sergeant or lieutenant or whatever, but Mr. Ricker.
That's fine.
Can you address how those reductions would be decided upon, where they're coming out of? Bad English, I know there, but also in terms of providing 24-hour coverage just for the I-5 corridor, and then places, for example, on the east side of the mountains in the more expansive territories, how that shakes out to how many cops will be on the road.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, first of all, to make it sure it's clear, we do not have any 24-hour coverage anywhere in the state of Oregon by the patrol division today at 329. We already don't have 24-hour coverage. So when we go to 309, we'll have just that many fewer troopers. We've had a lot of discussion with a number of members of the legislature in recent weeks and months about how it would be that we could get to having 24-hour coverage, especially on the Interstate 5 corridor. However, those discussions are not haven't come to fruition yet, at least in any budget document. So what we would have in answer to your direct question is, when people retire or resign or otherwise there's a vacancy that occurs in the patrol division, it will just occur wherever that person is assigned. We went through this in 2003 when we had this substantial layoff, the only layoff in the history of the state police of sworn police officers and of a great number of professional staff in the organization. A policy decision has to be made, a choice has to be made. Do you take the remaining workforce and redistribute it after you've had this kind of, you know, either a big reduction or a reduction of 20, which is bigger than I want to see. Do you take the remaining workforce and make decisions about, you know, relocating people so that from my standpoint or from your standpoint we can have, you know, the staffing numbers as optimally situated as we'd like them to be, keeping in mind they're not very good anywhere, but still we can make decisions about removing people in relation to the creation of vacancies. The problem with that is it's very difficult these days to tell an officer who's assigned in Eugene that, you know, we've had this budget cut and we now need you to move to Ontario. Pick up your family and go. The reality is in this economy and in this time and in my working career, some of those people are going to say, I'm sorry, Superintendent, I can't do that. And if you force me to either go over there or resign, I'm going to have to leave the organization because people just aren't in a position to just up and move because the agency would like to have 9 positions in this office instead of 7. So the answer to your question is that we will, as those vacancies occur, of those 20 officers, we'll get down to that number. We might be able to transfer some people into another division and keep them physically where they are. Take a patrol officer and put them in criminal, for example. Take a patrol officer, put them in fish and wildlife. We could do some of that, but it never has worked out yet to be something that wasn't without some substantial discomfort, either for the staff or for the organization. So you just take them, you know, case at a time and do the best you can.
Thank you. And can I just ask you one more question, Superintendent? Is there any, you know how these things go, you get $3 million cut out of your budget. Is there any area that you could move those around, partially even?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boone, it's a good question, and it's a very difficult one to answer. We, as Mr. Wilson pointed out, and as I think you all certainly understand, we are really a diverse organization with a lot of responsibilities that cut across the entire public safety and criminal justice system in the state. And I don't have a division, after all these years of the state's economy being like it is, I don't have any place where I could come up with a different answer of how to provide relief for $3 million reduction. In fact, this budget does make some improvements or some investments in some of those infrastructure, what I call infrastructure gaps that exist in other parts of the agency. It's just that this is a particularly difficult choice, as any of them would be. There are always consequences with a choice that gets made to cut a budget like this. And we need the infrastructure support that this reallocation of money is going to provide. LFO and the Legislative Assembly has been responsive to some of those infrastructure needs. The consequence is we continue to see an increasing fatality rate on the highway. We know these officers, the 20 that will be lost in this budget reduction, their absence on the highways will create other problems, will put us that much less able to respond to crashes, crimes in progress, providing any kind of deterrent effect with a patrol presence on the highway. Those are choices that have to get made. And I don't have another answer for you. I'm sorry.
I guess finally I want to, instead of a question, I'll make a comment now, and this is where I was getting. And I happened to hear on the radio, I think it was today, they talked about as we move into the July 4th weekend, the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of July are 1st, 2nd, and 3rd highest fatalities on the highways in the state, I guess it is, or?
Probably the nation.
The nation, yeah, those are the days, those are the big days. And then that being said, and I remember the last session when we dropped the 100, I think it was 100 positions or whatever, and we had trained these people, and Oregon's known for its, excellent training of state troopers, and they went to other states highly trained, and they were literally rubbing their hands together getting these great Oregon state troopers all trained, ready to go, and they could just pop them right in. And that's, I guess, my... It's not that other people in your agency aren't well-trained and very good, excellent employees, but it's that kind of specialized training that I don't want Oregon to get known as we train them, you take them, you know, and this is what's happening. I see this reduction. I think they had about 600 or 800 troopers at a point, and what he said is absolutely right. When you see the presence of the, well, it's black and gold now, but I was going to say black and white, the police car on the side of the road, and or sticking out behind a signpost or whatever, you see them there, people slow down. And speed is the big one, not to mention the drinking, but speed is a huge thing, and I think just the fact that they're sitting there, whether they stop anybody or not, I think it really is just, it's your mind's eye on your side. And I just hate to see us eliminate these positions of, you know, a statement that our, that we're keeping our citizens safe. Thank you for indulging me.
As I look at this, you know, the governor has proposed reducing 21 detectives. And what has happened is that 21 detectives assigned to major crime teams and drug teams have been reinstated. And yet the 20 troopers have come out, and there's a budget note saying we want to see what the possibility is or the appropriateness of having county agencies take over responsibility for patrol. And it looks to me like the view is that state police may be transitioning into a more highly specialized area than having troopers that was actually, you know, that could be done by counties, but the high crime, the meth, the drug teams and so forth may be more specialized.
Is that appropriate for the superintendent to comment on that then at this point?
Sure. How would you like to lose the 21 detectives and keep your 20
troopers? I don't know, and I think that's great. I'm happy to see that they were replaced there.
The governor's made one recommendation. House has made another. What's your opinion on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I thought you liked that one.
One of your kids do you like the best?
Yeah.
The priority for the Department of State Police, as it relates to sworn police officers, the number one priority is the ability to respond in our emergency response role with uniformed troopers out on the highways. Those officers on the roadways do more drug interdiction and more drug enforcement than all of the drug task forces combined. That's where the drugs are moving up and down the highway. If I had my choice, you've asked me my opinion, I'll give it to you. Those 21 positions should be in patrol, not in the criminal division. Having said that, what the work in the criminal division does is critically important as well. Counties in the state, I'm constantly being contacted by district attorneys or other people engaged in major crime team or either major crimes or interagency narcotics teams. People want to put a team together because no one agency has enough officers or officials of their own to be able to take on these problems at the local community level. So you get a state trooper and a county detective and somebody from the DA's office and somebody from the local municipal police department, and you put together a drug team. That makes perfect sense. That's what you have to do in this era of everybody having reduced resources and people pooling their resources to do very good and important work collaboratively and not in competition with each other. That's what we do throughout the state of Oregon. And those initiatives, those efforts, whether they be major crime teams, and just so everybody understands, that those are the groups of people that if there's a homicide in a community or some kind of violent criminal behavior, we pool our resources so that those officers can work together in combination with the prosecuting attorney in that office and bring a case to justice that would otherwise be perhaps beyond the workload capacity, and maybe even the technical expertise of any one agency. So you put your people together and you do it as a team. It's a great way to do business. Those things are responses to crimes that have already occurred, and there are plenty of them. There are child victims of crime throughout this state whose cases aren't getting investigated. There's narcotics trafficking going on throughout this state that's not being thwarted or investigated at a high enough level. And there are also people getting killed every day on our roadways, almost 500 every year, for my entire 30-year career with the state police. That number hasn't gone down. It hasn't dramatically gone up. Yes, there are more people in the state, and people will argue that statistically the rate of fatality has gone down. But if you're a state trooper making a death notification on somebody's front door at 2 in the morning, knocking on the door and watching that porch light come on, it doesn't feel like it's gotten one bit better. And we're still doing every bit as much of that, if not more, than we ever did. So if you have an opportunity to make an impact, and you have to choose between where are you going to try to make that impact? In my view, you do that with people that can do a lot of different things. Work patrol, they can work criminal drug interdiction on the highway, they can respond to crashes, they can respond to crimes in progress, and they can investigate them, though they be in uniform. You do that first. You do the other things in collaboration with your partners to the extent that you can, wherever you can. But again, this is an outcropping of 25 years of budget cuts, and you get into the discussion, as the good representative suggested, you know, do you need your right hand or your left hand? You need them both.
Okay, thank you.
Well, comment on this general subject. This is an incredibly ugly budget for the patrol division. I don't know any other way you can describe that. And I think this is, you know, brings us to budgeting 101. If we're going to have a budget cap, if we're not going to aggressively look for a new dedicated source of revenue for patrol, these are the kind of decisions we get forced into making. One thing in that, in relationship to the budget note, which I certainly support it because I think it's a discussion that very much needs to happen. There might be better. My hope and my vision would be that there might be better ways to deploy the resources rather than in the urban areas working on traffic. That void can be filled relatively easily by existing agencies. If then we can strengthen the activities in rural Oregon where there are huge needs and there's no other alternative than the state police. But I'm very fearful that based on the model that we have to work with now, which is 1145, in which the way the legislature's dealt with funding of that aspect of public safety over the last decade, that I can't imagine counties being willing to step forward and say, gee, state, we'll be your partner in this endeavor. Because, quite frankly, the state doesn't have a very good track record of maintaining agreements that we've made with our partners. So, although I think this is a good discussion to have, I'll be very surprised if anything comes out of it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for those comments.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next sub-budget.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, criminal services is next. And if you move back to the worksheets, package 090 does eliminate in the governor's budget 27 positions. 21 of those positions are the detective positions that have been referred to. And 6 positions are related to the tobacco tax task force. If you remember back to the Department of Justice budget, the governor's budget basically reduces the tobacco task force among the various agencies, DOJ, OSP, in terms of what you've seen in this subcommittee, back to the levels they were after the 2001 session. This package does restore, in the House budget, 21 detective positions has been referred to. So the net decrease are the 6 positions related to the tobacco task force. Package 101 is a series of reclasses that are internally financed in this division or in this package. It also includes a $100,000 increase for arson, the arson unit. That is funded from the fire insurance premium tax, which has sufficient revenues to provide the $100,000 here. There was also money added to the DPSST budget from the fire insurance premium tax, and you'll see proposals in the fire marshal budget to do the same thing. There's all it's sufficient funding in the fire insurance premium tax to do all of those. There's also a reduction. There's reduction of two positions here, including a major position, which is transferred to another division of the department. Two of the transferred positions were transferred out, but were not established in the other division, so that actually in the governor's budget. The agency requested that the positions be transferred. The governor's budget didn't reestablish one of the positions. So, and since there are no additional revenues, given that the discussion around the 20 troopers that we just had, there wasn't any funding to restore those positions. Package 111. This reestablishes three existing limited duration positions. These positions are funded through the high intensity drug trafficking area money, or HIDA monies, which are federal monies. So this continues those three limited positions or limited duration positions. It also takes into account the increased revenues coming in from the federal government for this program over and above the base amount, and this will bring the total funding to almost $6 million in HIDA funding. Most of that funding is channeled to local governments of that $6 million. And if you, here's one of those little misprints in my LFO reduction. There is no PERS rate reduction on these. It had already been taken in package 801 when we get to that. So you can cross out that.
Mr. Chair?
Obviously, wasn't it?
Mr. Wilson, so... Okay, so which...
Okay. Actually, the PERS reductions are taken here. I apologize with that. It was in another package I was thinking.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I did. So there are... I'm using Roddy's... sheet, so I need to use the other sheet.
Okay.
Do I need to use that?
No, the sheets haven't changed.
Okay.
They haven't changed.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
This wasn't it.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, I'm looking at package 111, and so your mm-hmm. statement stands approved with the savings from the PERS rate reduction redirected investment.
Yeah.
Okay, and go back into the description. It says there's $6 million, but then it says $1.1 million is going to be passed to the counties.
Mm-hmm.
So is there more than 1.1 of this, or is that a different thing? And also, what was the total PERS rate reduction for state police? Because this is the first time we've seen this, I think, where the chair has actually let us put that money back in.
Mr. Chair, the difference, first addressing the PERS,
okay.
The difference here is this is not general fund, these are federal funds. So they have been taken or will be taken in package 801, and what I'm saying here is since this money would just go someplace else, would just not be used or would not have sufficient limitation, I'm saying let's restore that $2,600 or $2,700 that was taken out in the PERS in package 801 and restore it back to this program so it goes out to the local grants. So it does not affect the general fund in any way. These are all federal grant funds. And your first question was between the 1.1 and the 6 million, I believe. The 1.1 refers to the total. What this package does is say we have $1.4 million more coming to the state police than we already have in the base budget. When you take that, what's in the base budget plus the 1.4 million, you get to the 6 million.
Okay.
And of that 1.4 million, 1.1 million is going to count to local governments.
Thank you. That clarifies.
Package 122 is the addition of 8 detectives. Well, actually, 1 sergeant, 7 trooper, all detective positions for a total of $1.7 million. This was proposed in the governor's budget and is part of his MEF initiative. The other portion of the MEF initiative that was funded in the governor's budget is an additional forensic scientist position in the forensics division, which you'll get to in a few minutes. Package 152, in the governor's budget, he creates a new Office of Homeland Security, and in that proposal, he takes the general fund out of the criminal division for the Office of Public Safety and Security and puts it in the that puts a general fund in the new Office of Homeland Security, and then they come back and contract with the state police for the services of those troopers. So in the governor's budget, you have an other funds expenditure limitation of the $849,000. What we are proposing here, since there is no new Office of Homeland Security, put the general fund back into this budget and take out the other funds. So it really doesn't affect the staffing or the general fund impact. It just puts the general fund back into this budget. So overall, there's not a net change to the general fund amount. For some reason, the numbers calculate out that there's $13 of reduction in other funds, which actually was in the governor's budget. I'm not sure how. I think it's just a reconciliation of some of the costs of the positions. Package 801 is the PERS and the AG adjustments. Package 811 are what is referred to here as technical, but what in this division, it's the smart buy savings reallocating across divisions, reallocation of the rent to the divisions where the rent is being charged. And in this case, it's also an increase in the other funds limitation in seizure resources. They have found that they have, in going over their accounting documents, taking a look at projections, they have found that they have roughly $500,000 in additional seizure collections that they had not anticipated in the governor's budget, and they would like to use those for those eligible uses. There is still quite a bit of uncertainty on the eligible uses of the seizure funds. There's a bill plotting its way through the legislative process. I believe it's Representative Olson's bill. There are court cases involved. In my understanding, in talking to the department, the federal government, some of this is federal seizures on federal actions. There's still quite a bit of uncertainty, and what we're requesting is, or recommending, is that we request DAS to unschedule that $500,000. And once things settle out, session's over, some of the court decision that is supposed to be coming down from the Supreme Court, hopefully in the relatively near future, once that settles, then reschedule that $500,000 once they know what they can use it for. I did ask whether you could use this to backfill general fund. But usually seizure type of recoveries can only be used for specific things, and that's what's in question right now. It's coming to try to figure out what those specific things are. Package 812 is this transfer both of budget or transfer of budget and positions to reflect where decisions are made and where the management structure actually is reflected. And this package also transfers the 15 positions into patrol that were discussed for the Dignitary Protection Unit and the Capitol Mall and Capitol Building security. And that represents the other fund decrease in this package. These are other funds because the state police have a contract with both the Legislative Administration Commission or Committee and DAS for the services for security on the Capitol Mall and in this building. Package 814, then, is the reduction of services and supply by 3% that you see in all state agency budgets with general fund in it. And, Mr. Chair, that concludes the criminal division. Taking a quick look at the memo, the only package that, or the only two bullets I want to make on the criminal division, which is on page 4 at the top under issues, is that restoring these 21 detective positions along with the 8 new positions in the meth initiative really puts the state in a much better position than it would be under the governor's budget in terms of resources directed to meth and other problems. And also just make sure you understand that with the two meth bills sort of going down on the Senate and the House side, there's the meth initiatives from the Judiciary Committees. I think both of those are headed to their appropriate budget committees. The co-chairs have reserved $5.1 million for sure. They've also identified some other sources for the, I'm told, for the meth initiatives, and those will all be worked out here in the next, hopefully, the next week or so on how to allocate those dollars, because there will be a fiscal impact on the bills that came out of the Judiciary Committees.
Representative Henson.
Thank you. Doug, when we're talking about the restoration in the criminal division, okay, we're funding eight positions through the meth initiative, and then we're restoring positions, in effect, at the cost of patrol. What?
I don't think when that decision was made, those two things weren't linked: the patrol reduction, the criminal increase. Those were two separate decisions.
Okay.
I don't want to link. It appears that they're linked, but they're not.
I don't want to make that linkage. I'm just trying to understand. How does the Criminal Investigation Division then rank in comparison to this budget year? Is this an actual increase of positions, or are we keeping it about the same?
It will be an increase of positions. Of the eight in terms of resources, keep in mind, of traditional criminal investigations, you're also transferring 15 positions that do the security on the mall and the dignitary protection of patrol, but that's a separate function.
Okay, so we've actually, if we do all of this, we'll actually have eight more people working in criminal investigations than we did in this biennium.
That is, okay. I think that's the case. I think there's a few more transfers, like there's a major position transferred out, but that wasn't being filled at this time anyways, or just filled with another responsibility. Mr. Chair, that completes the criminal division, our criminal services division. The next division is forensic services, starting on page 4 of the memo and page 24 of 41 on the worksheets. And I'll start with the worksheets. I think everyone understands the forensics services. It is the only full-service crime lab in the state. They have locations both in a new lab that was built that opened here a few months ago in the Clackamas area. They also have facilities in Springfield, Central Point, Bend, Pendleton, Ontario. But the main lab is in Clackamas in the Portland metro area. Package 101 on page 24, this does some internal reclasses 13 positions to more appropriate classifications to better line up the responsibilities with the classifications. It's internally financed. You would be approving those. Just a note, over time, these reclass, or this division, they have really moved from sworn officers to scientist-related classifications. So you will not have many sworn positions of the forensics lab, but they also aren't on driving down the highway arresting people. They're doing the analysis. And please do not be fooled, this is an editorial note, by the TV shows on crime scenes, the CSI programs. The real world doesn't necessarily reflect it on TV, and the resources of this division, while they have been maintained or restored in the past biennium, probably don't match what the TV shows have available to them. Package 106 is the intoxilizer package. These are the proceeds of the COP, Certificates of Participation. This is for purchasing 171 new intoxilizers. The old ones, as I mentioned before, do need to be replaced. They are continually breaking down they are quite old, and you do not really want to jeopardize the prosecution of a DUII arrest just based on the condition of the equipment, because that is something that could occur down the line unless these are replaced in the near future. They're financed with COPs. I should note that there is not any funding directly in this budget for training of the use of the intoxilizers. The intoxilizers are located throughout the state. The state police maintain them, test them, repair them, but they do not have people out there in all locations or in most locations actually doing the testing that is done by local jails, local law enforcement officers, and the such. So there would be some training that has to be done. But hopefully the repairs with the new machines, won't, the level of repairs will be less. So there may be some resources there. Package 106, this is an increase in federal fund limitations from the National Institute of Justice at the federal level. Most of that will be go to buy equipment and supplies, most of it related to DNA testing. Some of it will be used for overtime at the lab, mostly for DNA testing again. Package 122, this is part that second part of the governor's methamphetamine initiative. This adds one forensic scientist who will do testing to keep up with the workload on testing for meth lab evidence and those kinds of things. If you add detectives, you, at the same time as you add law enforcement people doing the investigations, you're putting increased demands on the forensic services division or the crime lab to process and test the evidence that is coming in.
I have a question on the intoxilizers. It's $9,100 each. If there's 171, is that a purchase price or does that include other aspects?
I think that is just the purchase. Is that just the purchase price, Ken? Yes, it is.
All right, thank you.
So the installation, the training, isn't part of those costs. And that will have to be borne by the budget elsewhere. Package 801 on the top of page 26 is the PERS and AG adjustments. Package 811, again, we call this the technical adjustment, but it, again, specifically, it's the allocation of smart buy savings, reallocation of rent, and it also increases the federal funds limitation for carryover funds from a burn grant that was not fully funded, and there's also increases in National Institute of Justice grant funds also here that came to light after the governor's budget was proposed and presented to the legislature. Again, those funds would be used for purchase of supplies and equipment, mainly supplies for DNA analysis. They are also have, there's I think about $100,000 in these numbers. They have been starting to get donations to process DNA on a quicker and a quicker process from folks in the state, and those are reflected in these funds also. Package 813 is, this is one of those investments that were made that we've talked about in services and supplies. There's an investment of $1.1 million. The agency, I believe, talked about the need for 1.5 or more. For this division, we were able to identify 1.1 to make sure they keep operating this division at full strength. If they had not gotten this money invested, they would have had to leave positions vacant in the forensics division to make sure all their other costs for supplies, rent, and other S&S costs were covered. That also applies to other divisions in making investments to fill double-filled positions, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, S&S cuts or shortfalls. The only way the agency has to fill those needs, if they have to be made, and many of them do have to be made because there are assessments and costs that they must pay, is by leaving positions vacant in other divisions, including the patrol division, even though that's a priority for the agency. So even though there are resources cut from other areas of the budget, some of those resources that were cut could have had to been left vacant to fill these other needs that where money is being directed toward. Package 814 is a reduction in services and supply, which in this case is just less than $200,000. That's included in all these divisions. So really the 1.1% or $1.1 million increase in services and supply is really only $900,000 when you factor in the S&S cut. And Mr. Chair, that completes the forensics division. There are no other issues or budget notes on that division.
President Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask a question of the agency concerning the forensics lab?
Okay.
Currently, if there's an ongoing meth investigation, how long does it take to clear to get the lab results back to the agencies that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I'll see if I can get someone to tell me what the current turnaround time is, the backlog is for drug evidence analysis. Each of these disciplines have a little slightly different turnaround rate. I don't have that off the top of my head. I'll get it here in just a couple minutes.
Okay. And what I'm interested in the results of the whole thing will be, what will be the impact of adding one position back? Is that going to be a pretty substantial remedy, or is that going to be a drop in the bucket, I guess, is my...
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, my intuitive answer to that is going to help a lot, because that person will be dedicated to doing analytical work relative to methamphetamine alone, and that is a substantial aid. To put the meth detectives in the budget without the corresponding infrastructure support in the labs, I think, would have been a big mistake. So at least it's going to be a reasonable staff investment associated with the increase in enforcement work directly related to methamphetamine. But I get you some data here just right away.
Okay, you can just respond directly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just trying to ascertain, are we moving ahead of the problem, or are we treading water? And
there was a lot of study work done in the interim about to try to devise what should the meth initiative look like. And some of those studies had the staffing level to be as many as 60 officers spread around the state at the far end. Well, but it was known all along. You put officers out there, you got to put the lab support with them. So this is a package deal where the lab support is intended to be relational to the increase in the size of the enforcement effort.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, at least in terms of the performance measure, the turnaround time on lab work generally average is just under 40 days in 2004. But that's just not specifically directed at meth. Mr. Chair, the next division is the medical examiner's office. This is their smallest division in terms of personnel. They are responsible, of course, for investigating the cause of death through autopsies and other methods. The state medical examiner also appoints all 36 county examiners. They have moved into new facilities at the same location as the new crime lab in the Clackamas area, and if you turn to page 28 of 41 of the tables, quickly go through their budget. Package 116 establishes a morgue attendant position. This really continues a position more than anything else, because in the old facility, Multnomah County, I believe, had a position stationed there. And since they've now moved to a building owned by the state and operated by the state, it was thought that that should be a state position. But the counties, all three tri-metro counties, pay for that position jointly. So there's not an increase of general fund, but there is an increase of other funds of $172,000 in this package. Package 801 are the LFO adjustments on the of the AG and the PERS rate. Package 811, which is on the top of page 29, these are just the reallocation of rent and the smart buy savings. In this case, it's mostly the reduction due to the smart buy savings. And in package 814, it is the service and supply cut to the budget. That is present in all general fund budgets in the House plan. That completes, Mr. Chair, the medical examiner's division.
Okay.
The next division is the fish and wildlife division. Package 090 transfers funding for the equivalent of 18 positions in the governor's budget from general fund to lottery fund. This will be proposed to be changed or recommended to be changed in package 815 and reverse this action. So I'll skip through with that, but this does show sort of this is the portion of funding that is directed toward the Fish and Wildlife that are generally used to pay for their general sort of law enforcement responsibilities that they may come across in the normal course of their daily business. So if you do see one of the white pickups going down the road, they will pull you over for speeding or for drunk driving or whatever it might be. But that those functions should not be paid out of the fees that support this division. It's funded out of this $4 million through a cost allocation of the division's expenses. Package 101 reestablishes true trooper positions that were mistakenly phased out in the budget development for the governor's budget. These were positions funded through contracts or other funds of Marine Board and ODFW. And also a cadet position is eliminated here, and other funds are pushed toward the temporary employees functions of the budget, where they do, again, hire for seasonal work retired troopers during hunting season and those types of times of the year where there's a greater workload for the Fish and Wildlife troopers. Package 801, again, are the adjustments reflecting the lower PERS rate and the adjustment to the AG budget. Package 811, are the what we'll call technical adjustments, but again, these are the reallocation of smart buy savings across the agency, the reallocation of rent, and in this case, additional federal limitation that will purchase equipment for coastal actions or enforcement activities, and these monies come from the National Marine Fishery Services Agency at the federal level. Package 812, which is described in the top of page 17, this is another one of the packages that transferring cost and staff from the Human Resources Division to the various field organizations. In this case, you're basically transferring S&S costs. There aren't any staff moved around in this package for Fish and Wildlife as there was with Patrol and Criminal. Package 814 is the 3% reduction, and Package 815 is a reversal returning to general fund in the House budget from what had been proposed as lottery funds or line game funding in the governor's budget. And, Mr. Chair, on the memo that completes the numbers in Fish and Wildlife, on the memo, if you take a look on page 6, there is one budget note that was brought and approved by the co-chairs. And this, in the past, legislators have been concerned that position in this division had been left vacant to ensure that positions elsewhere were filled if there was a insufficient number of sworn officers to fill, for example, a patrol division. And what this budget note requests or instructs the department to do is to make every effort to fill any position that becomes vacant in this division in a timely manner, and positions in this division are not to be held vacant to ensure positions in other divisions of the agency can be filled. So the positions, what's being instructed to the agency here is beyond the normal turnover as folks retire, move on to another position or whatever, that these positions be filled as quickly as they could in the normal process of hiring folks.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, in your review of this division, is there evidence to suggest that these positions have been held open to provide funding for other divisions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hannah, it wasn't necessarily the funding. It was as, for example, as you go from one recruit school to the next, I think that information presented to a report to the E-Board by the department last in or this past interim did show that the department made every effort to keep the positions in the patrol division filled until the next recruit school graduated. So that's really the kind of thing that this budget note is addressing.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Hannah.
So can you tell us out of their total 120 or so? No, that's not the right number. What's their number? Yeah, 120. Yeah, there are 120. How many positions were open for what kind of a time period? And where did this concern stem from when we say legislators have expressed this concern? What did it stem from?
Mr. Chair, I don't have that report. I can give it to you after the today's meeting about the number seven or eight positions come to mind sometime during the 03-05 interim. But I would have to check those numbers with the report to the emergency board.
Okay. Mr. Chair, just a comment on that.
Representative Hannah?
You know, the one thing I see about this particular division is, you know, maintaining these positions, though not listed as, patrol folks. These are the folks that are out there helping out in those rural areas. And many times these folks are out there in extremely rural areas that have, you know, you talk about little to no backup on the I-5 corridor, you know, run up into the Steamboat Basin of the far reaches of Douglas County, and if they're up there alone, they truly are alone. I'd like to make sure we are filling these positions and keeping up with the training to put these folks out there, because these are brave souls to be out there in the places they are alone anyway. I'd like to see them have the coverage they need.
Okay, the budget note, you approve of that then?
Sure.
Mr. Chair, the next division is the what is called the Human Resources Division. The department is currently changing that to reflect its responsibilities to really be called the Administrative Services Division. This division really does have the management of the department. It includes the superintendent's office. It includes the administrative functions of the agency. It also includes the staff for the dispatch or communication centers, among other things, which probably makes up the largest share of the largest single component of our unit within this division. I'm on page 5 of 41 of the in your packet of tables. Again, we have reordered these as they are come out of the system, the budget reporting system, just so it flows a little better in the presentation. Package 070, also included in this division, is the training component of this agency, of which in the base budget there was roughly $1.2 million of funding that was criminal fines and assessment. This package 070 is the first of a couple packages, of three packages that affect criminal fines and assessment. So don't jump to conclusions that before we get to package 096, which is the final adjustment. This package just recognizes during the budget process or the development process there was cuts to CFAA-funded programs, including the one here in OSP. In this case, it was $378,000. Package 090 at the top of the next page makes further reductions to the CFAA budget and eliminates nine positions total, of which four are related to CFAA. Package 096, there in the middle of page 6, then restores those four positions and restores $1,051,000 of CFA funding for training and in this case package 090, the result of all that is five positions are eliminated from the governor's budget, not from training or CFAA training, but from other administrative functions of the agency. So the net result for the training components on the CFAA side are that there's $1,051,000 in the budget, four positions, and that instead of being funded with general fund as proposed in the governor's budget, it will continue to be funded with CFAA. I hope that made sense. It took a little bit to get there. Package 101 recognizes a transfer of a sergeant position from the patrol division to this division to line up where the SWAT team, this is a position that is assigned to the SWAT team for the command structure. That command structure exists in this division and not in the patrol division for that single program. This starts what happens in a number of places in this division and the next division. The position N was sent to this division from the patrol division, but it was funded by not with the funding coming from the patrol division, but was funded by a reduction in the services and supplies in this division to fund the cost of this, the personnel cost of this position. This is the first of about, I think, five actions that have, that are similar in nature, but then what that does is start creating larger and larger holes in the services and supply portion of the budget. That's in package 101. Package 102, before, on package 101 on the top of page 7, well, that is package 102, excuse me. The headers are not, don't line up real well. This transfers in a major position from the criminal division. You saw that in the criminal division of that position transferring out. Again, the money was not transferred with that. It was cut out of the budget completely. The general fund cost and services and supplies were reduced by almost $300,000 to fund this major this position, which is a major. This package also adds $250,000 general fund to pay unexpected rent costs at the what is referred to as the C4 building, which is a building down on State Street beyond the prison where the dispatch and the community, the communications unit or center for the state police is located. There's also $150,000 in this as the other funds, which are additional return to work funds that come from the workers' comp program, which only can be used for specific things about making sure that folks that leave or that take a leave of absence due to workers' comp, getting them back to work on as quick as possible. Package 112 includes the debt service for the intoxilizers. The general rules for placement of debt services are in budget, in state agency budgets, are to put the debt service in the director's offices of agencies, and that's why you see it here. The other funds that you saw in the forensics division for the intoxilizers were the proceeds of the COPs to pay for those new intoxilizers, and this is the debt service to pay for the payback of those COPs. We're recommending that you reduce this by a little under $100,000. As in the corrections budget, as DAS and the agencies went back and reviewed the various accounts from previous issues of COPs, they came up with one-time savings of $100,000 for this agency. They came up with approximately $2.5 million when they did that for the Department of Corrections, and you saw that when you went through that budget. Package 801 are the adjustments for PERS and the Attorney General costs. Package 811 is a number of what we'll refer to as technical adjustments, but again, they're the smart buy savings, reallocation of rent, and in this case, you see this is where all the rent was before it was transferred out to the patrol, criminal, and the other divisions. So you see a significant decrease of almost $3.6 million for this division. And there's also increased other funds for a continuing grant that comes through the Criminal Justice Services Division. Package 812, again, is the transfer of the various management support service positions and the costs of the field structure and command structure out to the patrol, criminal, and fish and wildlife divisions. This is where all that funding was prior in the position, so you see a decrease of about $7 million from this this particular division, along with 36 positions. This 36 positions include the various support staff in the various field offices, as well as the command structure for the field structure, that is transferred out to the local offices in the patrol division. And package 813 at the top of page 9, these are where some of the resources are being used to create new positions for positions that are currently double-filled. The superintendent talked about the the infrastructure of the agency. This is where those positions are being added. These positions currently are double-filled. The department cannot get along without resources in this area. They include payroll, financial, personnel, staff, facility management staff, all functions that have to be present to operate the agency. And over the past few biennia, many of these functions have been cut significantly, just as they have been cut in some of the program positions in patrol. So there are 9 positions created here to satisfy some of those double fills. There are still more double-filled positions over and above this, but this is the amount of funding we could identify at this time. In addition, there are $300,000 cut in training. There's not only training funds from CFAA funded, there's also some general fund, and this reduces the training cost by $300,000, in large part recognizing that future recruit schools, beginning January of 2007, will be run through DPSST, and the cost of those recruit schools will not be borne by this agency. They will be borne by the DPSST. So there was a lot of discussion about training in the joint subcommittee, and this recognizes some of the issues and concern raised by that joint subcommittee. And then finally, package 814 is the reduction in services implied by 3%. Back to package 813, again, as I said a few minutes ago, without the establishment of these positions, the agency would be keeping double-filled or keeping positions vacant to fulfill the needs of these double-filled positions that we're trying to create to eliminate double-filling. Mr. Chair, those are the numbers for the Human Resources Division. On page 7, there are budget notes that both co-chairs have approved. Excuse me. The budget reductions, there's been a number of discussions about vacancies and double fills. This budget, here's the second typo I need to mention, the second line of that first bullet on page 7. It should read this budget, not this budget note. This budget partially addresses the needs around double fills. The agency's had to keep a number of vacancies, and that the recommendation is to instruct the state police to return to an e-board next summer, or at least the first e-board after July 1, 2006, on a report on the number of vacant positions, the number of double-filled positions, and some of the characteristics of those positions. The department did something similar to this in the past interim in reporting to the emergency board. The department has said, at least the staff has said, that they are committed to resolving or eliminating all the double-filled positions as they can, and this they should be able to show the progress in doing that with this budget note. The second budget note deals with cost allocation. One of the issues that has been present that I've been looking into and hope to deal with during this session, but we're unable to put everything into place. The agency worked hard at it, but by the end of the deliberations, there was not time or enough planning had been done with other agencies to satisfy this. But the division uses general fund to provide for a lot of the costs around personnel, finance, fleet management, and those kinds of things for their programs that are funded from non-general fund sources like Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, tribal gaming, lottery gaming. What we are recommending in terms of a budget note, and this budget note, I do know where it came from. It came from myself as I presented these to the budget or to the co-chairs, was that the agency worked with BAM and the Department of Administrative Services and our office in developing a system of allocating cost in those non-general funded programs to pay for their share of those costs. At the same time, the agency, in terms of the state police, has to work with those agencies that provide the funding. It's the lottery, ODFW, as well as tribal governments, Marine Board, and others, and work with them. And then in developing the 07-09 budget, have a cost allocation process in place to allocate those costs as best possible. The third budget note on that page and continued onto the page 8 is a companion to the budget note that was in the DPSST budget. The only changes are some rewording to make it fit into this budget. It states that the Oregon State Police is directed to integrate the recruit training into DPSST Basic Police Academy no longer than January 2007. The other addition in this budget note that wasn't in the DPSST budget is to have them report, have the state police report back next session, and maybe even as part of their budget, they currently lease space at Camp Rylea for the recruit school and other training. We would like them to take a close look at whether they need to continue renting that space, paying the lease costs for that space, and report back to the legislature and the emergency board on that. And that should be, included in the report that will be due back no later than October 15th of 2006. And finally, just a note, it's not a budget note, but just a note that this division will be renamed the Administrative Services Division by the agency in the future, better reflecting of what it does. Mr. Chair, that completes that division. The two more divisions remain for today. The first one is the Information Management Division. This division includes a number of statewide functions, LEDs, the law enforcement data system, some of the recording. It includes the wireless systems. It also includes the identification services division, section of the agency. If you turn to the worksheets in front of you, starting on page 30 of 41, the first package is a reduction in the other fund limitation for the identification services unit, and this reflects they have been carrying a significant amount of other fund limitation that they did not have resources to line up with. The fee revenues were not there. The limitation had been increased over the years, but it did not match the amount of fees coming in. So in the development of the governor's budget, this was removed from the budget. It all came out of S&S and capital outlay. None of the 73 positions in that unit were eliminated as part of this action. Package 090 increases rent for the same issue I talked before about in the Human Resources Division. There's rent paid for the C4 building that was unexpected, and that's $120,000 in this budget. It is partially an 0305 rent issue. Package 095 is a placeholder you're finding in all large budgets for the scenic project that will be coming in another budget. In fact, I think that budget has been worked by one of your companion subcommittees last week. Package 101 reclasses a number of positions to line up with their proper classifications. They're all internally financed, and they have been approved by the Human Resources Services Division of DAS as all the reclasses in this department. This package also transfers four positions, which implements the consolidation of the Oregon Emergency Response System and the LED system into a single operations unit. This is a 24-hour staffed unit in the state police, and this there were four positions transferred from the Office of Emergency Management into this division. The general fund, only $140,000 general fund came from OEM for this function. That was all that was available from OEM. And so, as in other cases, the remaining cost of those divisions, there was a shift in resources from services and supply to personal services, again creating a hole in services and supply, which is a real acute problem in this division. Package 102 establishes three positions. In reality, it continues three positions that are currently double-filled for the wireless communications program. This is the folks that keep the radio towers across the state for the state police and the repeaters on those and equipment on those towers in shape, as well as all the patrol radios in the patrol cars and the radios that troopers and other personnel in the office carry on their belts. These are three positions. These are three of the seven positions that were eliminated as part of the budget reductions during 0102. They've been double-filled. And again, there was no cost, no revenues inserted in the budget. The services and supplies were cut to fund the personnel costs in these positions, adding to the S&S problem in this division. Package 103, similar action. Services and supplies were reduced to fund three positions, I think it is three positions for the Uniform Crime Reporting Program that had lost their funding. In 03-05, funding had come from a variety of sources, OHSU, the health division or health services division of DHS, and from a burn grant. None of those resources are available anymore. So it is funded with funds from cut from S&S to fund the three positions. The amount cut is $389,000 in S&S and added to the personal services budget, again adding to their S&S problem.
Where do you see those three positions?
They are already existing in the base budget because in 03-05 they were funded from funds from OHSU, DHS, and through the burn grant, so you're just continuing them with new funding sources. Okay. Package 150 provides limitation for increased grants coming from the Criminal Justice Services Division. These are federal grants that come into the Criminal Justice Services Division, who is the grants management for law enforcement, criminal justice-related grants. They show up here as other funds because they come from another state agency or another state entity. Package 801 are the adjustments for PERS and the AG. I'm on the top of page 33. Package 811 are what are referred to as technical adjustments, but in this case they refer to smart buy savings, the reallocation of rent between the divisions, and an increase in the federal funds limitation for an ongoing grant that they have with the National Criminal History Improvement Project to make sure the amount of grant funds line up with the amount of limitation that is in the budget. Package 813 is the largest package in this agency. It does a couple things. It first adds $1.6 million to fill some of the S&S holes in the budget. You notice three packages that the governor had reduced services and supply to fund what I think were nine positions in this division. This is not unique to this division, but it did create a significant hole in a division that was already short of S&S funding. Without this money, or reallocation of costs from other parts of the department or holding vacancies, At least one unit in this agency would have run out of S&S after a couple months into the biennium, after they paid their service, state service charges or assessments, and a portion of their rent, they ran out of services and supply to pay for all the things that, those categories pay for. That is the first part of this, adding that $1.6 million. The remainder is directed toward the identification services unit. We probably won't get to that bill today, the second bill on the agenda, but this is the unit within state government that maintains the databases and provides assistance to other units, as well as folks calling in to provide criminal background checks, fingerprint checks, and those kinds of things. It is a statewide service. It is the only folks in the state government that are dedicated for those purposes, and it supports other parts of state government. It has traditionally been funded through a mixture of fees and general fund. The general fund, though, has been reduced significantly because of cuts over time. Starting in 2001-03, with some of those budget cuts, they were able to get through the 2003-05 biennium through the rebalance process by having vacancies in other parts of the department, mainly in the forensics area. They could push this way. They also increased fees substantially on March 1st of this year in those areas that they were able to increase fees. So the total net worth, or the total amount of general fund directed at this agency, is the difference between the 2.9 or almost 3 million and the 1.6 that are directed toward ID services, and the 1.8 million in the other funds category represents the effect of increasing fees to a substantial by a substantial amount for the ID services or criminal records checks or background checks. If you do not approve the next bill on the agenda, that 1.8 will not be there, and it will leave a hole in this agency. Even though there are substantial resources being directed toward the identification services unit, it still is not up to what the department would feel that is full funding of about $11.4 million. This will get it up to roughly about $11.7, $11.8 million. Package 814 in this division is the reduction in services and supply by 3%. Mr. Chair, that represents the actions on information management division.
Okay, good. Let's move on. We've got...
Mr. Chair, moving on, the next division is the Gaming Enforcement Division. This is the last division with the presentation documents that you were handed out last Friday morning. The first in 090, in the governor's budget development, it eliminated one position that was associated with the Boxing Wrestling Division, and this was a reduction in general fund of $98,000. Since that time, the agency appears that they'll get enough revenue in this budget to restore that single position directed toward the boxing and wrestling activities and commission, and you will notice that there's an increase of $89,000 in other funds and the restoration of that position. Package 801 is the adjustment for PERS and the AG rate. And package 811, again, is a reallocation of rent. In this case, it's an increase of $84,000 in this division's budget. Mr. Chair, that completes this particular division. If you go back to page 9 of the memo, there is a budget note dealing with this position. During the testimony in front of the joint committee or subcommittee, at least two of the tribal governments came forward and had questions related to the level of enforcement for the gaming operations. What is here is a budget note instructing the Oregon State Police to evaluate whether the current staffing and the type of staffing is proper and report back to the emergency board on that sometime at the first e-board after March 1st, 2006. Mr. Chair, that completes these divisions within the Oregon State Police. Mr. Chair, I'm going to hand out materials on Homeland Security that will be folded into this budget. I believe that the plan is to pass this into this budget today. This is what I'm handing out right now. I will go through this rather quickly. As you know, that the governor proposed that our new Office of Homeland Security be developed. At this time, the House plan and the Senate plan for this matter does not include these functions, and so they are does not include the creation of that office. So those divisions, Fire Marshal, Office of Emergency Management, and Criminal Services Justice, or Criminal Justice Services Division, will be folded back into the state police as they currently are in the 0305 budget. Taking a look at the memo in front of you, I will go through division by division, starting on page 2 of the memo and starting at page, make sure I have what we need here, page one of the table. The first division is the Oregon Emergency Management Division. The first package is the transfer of four positions from this division to the Information Management Division of the State Police that was discussed about 10 minutes ago. Here's the $141,000 that was transferred out of this division. It was transferred into Information Management, and this reflects that transfer. This was proposed by the governor and recommended to go forward. Package 150, there were some enhancements to the Office of Emergency Management budget, including additional funding coming from FEMA and also lining up 911 expenditures. Our recommendation is to approve this with the exception of the $41,500 general fund enhancement. In reality, this $41,500 was not included in the governor's budget. But as I recreated this out of the governor's proposed Office of Homeland Security, it had to be taken out here. The next page, page 2 of 3.
Let the committee know that we've gone through these so quickly today. I mean, you've been very efficient, very thorough. Let's go ahead and continue, and we will go ahead and do a vote today on these bills. And so, if you need to go, I understand, but we're going to work just a few minutes extra and move them out so that we don't have to delay that vote until tomorrow. So why don't you go ahead.
Okay. Package 151 at the top of the page. Again, the governor had a package in this division's budget which reflected the transfer of this division to the new Office of Homeland Security, and we're recommending, since the budget plan does not include the Office of Homeland Security, to reverse that package so this division retains its position in the Oregon State Police. Package 801 are the adjustments to PERS and the AG for this division. Package 811, this makes a number of positions which are more technical in nature. It deals with the smart buy savings, changes from federal fund to other funds for a series of emergency management performance grants that are part of this division. They have been classified as federal funds, but they need to be classified as federal funds. Again, that doesn't change the nature of the budget in any way. Package 812 takes care, again, another one of those rent payments at the C4 building that came unexpectedly, and this adds $161,000 for that in this budget. Package 813 at the top of the next page, it establishes two positions. This relates to The decision not to create an Office of Homeland Security at this point, but it establishes two positions for the current Homeland Security Advisor and another support staff position to be in place. It has both general fund and federal funds in the budget, or in other funds, excuse me, in the budget to allocate between those two divisions. And finally, there's package 814, which is the 3% budget reduction in each of the divisions. Mr. Chair, that completes the information on the Office of Emergency Management. The only point that on top of page 3 I want to make about this, it's not a budget note, but there is still a lot of discussion going on about emergency communication needs for state and local emergency networks across the state, and hopefully by the end of the session some preliminary work will be done on this issue, returning with a lot more work in the 2007 to meet federal guidelines and to take care of some of the aging infrastructure out there in this area. The next budget is the state fire marshal budget, and if you turn your page, it starts off again as page 1 of 3 on the tables. The first package is package 150. These were enhancements included in the budget for a number of things, including FireNet emergency communication systems improvements, replacement repairs to the urban search and rescue equipment, the replacement of the Children's Fire Safety House, and other improvements for fire code training and making sure there's up-to-date information out there about the fire code. We recommend that this package be approved with the exception of the $19,500. There is not any general fund out there for this function. In reality, in the governor's proposed Office of Emergency Management, this Office of Homeland Security, this $19,000 had not been part of that budget either. Package 115 is purely the reversal of the governor's proposal to create the Office of Emergency Management and retains the state fire marshal as part of the state police budget. Package 801 are the PERS and AG adjustments. Package 811 are the allocation of the smart buy savings and the increase in federal funds limitation based on greater information being available now than when the governor's budget was submitted on the availability of grants.
I just mentioned the record when you said package 115, it was 151.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Just
my eyes are wearing out today.
How are you doing?
And then finally, package 813 are some enhancements to this budget that were included in the governor's budget, or had been meant to be included, or were mistakenly left out. This is the addition of two fire marshals that were funded with the fire insurance premium tax revenues. These deputy fire marshals that are intended to be located in Bend and Roseburg. There's additional funds for code enforcement and technical assistance by adding these two deputy fire marshals. There's also a position in the LPG, or liquid petroleum gas, program in the hazardous material program to keep up with the workload. There's also enhancements to the community fire prevention programs, maintenance dollars for the FireNet communication systems, which links the state and fire systems across the state, and there's an additional funding for training incident management teams. There are sufficient funds in the fire insurance premium tax, and there are other funding sources that are part of this package. The final division, I'm sure I'd want any comments to be really made. Oh, just to make the comment on the fire marshal position, I'm on top of page 4. The fire marshal is responsible for the implementation of the Conflagration Act for forest fires. In the past, they have come to the E-Board and received general funds or emergency funds to cover the state cost of this. We would like the agency to start looking at the fire insurance premium tax as a possible source of using these funds. They would still have to come to the E-Board for limitation increases, but we want them to consider looking at the use of the fire insurance premium tax as a source of funding. You never know what those funds are going to be until after the fire seasons. The final division is the Criminal Justice Services Division. Package 150, I'm on page 1 of 2 of the table. This adds general fund that needs to be in this budget to provide match for a series of federal grants. The governor's budget had mistakenly removed the budget or the $95,000 general fund, and if we are to receive these funds, they need to be part of the budget. It also increases federal fund limitation to bring based on more up-to-date information. Package 151 reverses the governor's decision to create the Office of Homeland Security and ensures that the Criminal Justice Services Division remains part of the state police. So it reverses the governor's proposal. And finally, let me turn the page. Actually, that is on the back. Package 811 or 801 is the AG and PERS reductions. Package 811 is a significant increase in federal funds limitation at this point, and this based on the increases in Homeland Security grants and other grants that flow through the Criminal Justice Services Division. This significant increase in the limitation is based on the most up-to-date information there is on the availability of federal funds. Mr. Chair, that concludes the what had been the Office of Homeland Security as proposed in the governor's budget and folded those functions into the state police.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the next item would be the performance measures. A quick review of those. There should be a performance measure table in your packet. On page 4, actually, you need to actually return back to the state police memo. On page 10, the last page of that memo, are a series of proposed changes. And I believe the agency agrees with all or most of these performance measures. I'll quickly run through them. Delete the first performance measure. These are the percentage of cooperative agreements with local law enforcement agencies. This agency or this measure is almost near 100% and will hopefully move to 100% if possible. I think there's one county at this time that does not have it. So the proposal there, since it is so near to 100%, is to eliminate the performance measure. Delete performance measure 5, which measures very similar to measure performance measure 3. The department will continue to track performance measure 5, but it really does the same thing as performance measure 3. Performance measure 6 is a fish and wildlife measure. It links to a Oregon benchmark. We are recommending that it continues to be a performance measure, but suggesting that two more measures with a broader scope be introduced dealing with fish enforcement generally and game enforcement generally. All that data is currently collected by the department, and they should create two general performance measures for this division and not one specific one for the salmon and steelhead catches. The goal for performance measure 7 is currently at a significantly higher level than their target for 2006 and 2007. We're recommending that that should be increased. Currently, it is, I believe, right around 85%, and we would like to see to be increased at least the goal for 2006-2007 to that 85%. Performance measure 9 should be reviewed as part of the overall customer satisfaction. Measures that are being proposed across state government generally. And we suggest you delete performance measure 16. It measures coverage of the phase 2 of the 911 system, and phase 2 should be 100% or nearly 100% implemented in the near future. So it really is a performance measure that is not required anymore.
Okay, are there questions on the performance measures? We can move on to a motion, and then we can discuss the motion.
Mr. Chair, I had not included the specific line changes and dollar figures for the bill because I was not ready to fold the Homeland Security, or I didn't know that was going to happen today, but all the numbers that we have gone through on the worksheets will be folded into that amendment as a conceptual amendment and will be ready for full committee.
Okay.
Yes, that would be the... You first need to amend the bill with all the changes that have been made through the work papers, and then this would be the final motion.
So the chair would accept a motion to accept amendments utilizing the figures that have been outlined by LFO.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would move the committee accept the amendments as discussed and listed to House Bill 5167.
President Hannah has moved that we accept the amendments, and which have been set forth by the LFO analysts for the various components of the Oregon State Police budget. Is there discussion on the amendment? Is there objection to the amendment? Okay, the amendments are accepted into the bill. Now a final motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House Bill 5167 as amended to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Hannah has moved that House Bill 5167 as amended move to the full House Special Budget Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting no, and it's not totally because this is a very harsh budget. I think I understand the budget realities that are pushing this forward, but mostly it's a concern that while we're making these types of decisions, we haven't fully coordinated with either the MEP initiative. I would like to have had time to talk to some colleagues in the Senate to see how they're perceiving not just necessarily the funding for the state police, but also the overall funding for the MESH initiative, which I don't think you can totally separate this. We've had no broad discussions on MEP initiatives or the funding for MESH initiatives, and to move this budget at this time without any type of discussion on in that arena, I think it's both untimely and unwise. This was scheduled for 2 days of hearings, I believe, and I think by moving it at this time, it'll put me in a position of being a no vote.
That's so noted.
And I guess, and without repeating everything, my concern is pretty much limited to the 20 positions eliminated. I would have like to discuss a little bit more too, and was hoping for the 2 days to get over to the Senate side and see what they plan to do there. So I'll be a no now, but I reserve the right to maybe upgrade at a point later.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. With that discussion in mind, the clerk call the roll.
Representative Boone?
No.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Woodman?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye. So House Bill 5167 has been passed to the full House Special Committee, our Budget Committee, with due pass recommendation. We now end the work session on House Bill 5166 and open... excuse me, 51... 5167 is what we just ended, and we now open a work session on 5168.
Chair, I believe I handed out at the beginning of the meeting a one-page memo, one-page amendment to this. This ratifies fees. This bill ratifies fees that were increased during the 0305 biennium. On that memo is a table of the fee increases. They are substantial, but they do reflect the actions taken by you in 5167. If these are not factored in, then you have left a hole in 5167, the operating budget. These are the fees that could be increased administratively by the department. They do not reflect fees that must be increased statutorily, which at this time is not part of the House plan. Those would include fees relating to concealed handguns, expungements, and firearms checks, which the result of this is some substantial fee increases in these, which affect state agencies, individuals, and nonprofits, actually no increases on the firearms checks. Just wanted to make sure that you understood that. Also included in the ratification of the impoundment of vehicles fee that was discussed in the patrol division in that single position. That went from $25 to $40. It's unrelated to the identification services unit. The amendment has all these fees increased. The amendment is House Bill 5668-1 that I've handed out.
Okay. Superintendent Ricker, would you just come forward? I just want to have verification on the record of the department's intentions as far as increasing fees in the next 2 years.
Mr. Chair, thank you. As been described a couple of different ways today, we've had a problem in the last biennium with the budget adequacy within our identification bureau, some of which is supported by general fund and some by fees. Some of those fees we can increase or modify through administrative rule. Some require statutory change. And we went to the E-Board on first a rebalance and then subsequently a supplemental appropriation to try to resolve or bail out this problem. It's a big problem, and it's not going to go away. It is going to be markedly improved in the budget that you just referred out, but the problem is still going to remain. We will implement the fee increases that we can increase administratively in our effort to try to keep this division in the black. I'm not certain that we're going to be able to make it, but we're going to do everything we can to not have to come back and report that we're once again have a revenue shortfall in that section. But I think we will.
Okay, now let me rephrase the question. My understanding is that the fee increases that are reflected in House Bill 5168 have already been implemented as of March of this year.
Yes, sir.
Is there any intention to further increase these fees during the 2005-07 biennium?
I have had no discussion with people about that. I'm looking at my staff to find out if they've had. No, the answer is no.
So the answer is presently there is no intention to increase them further if we ratify what's already.
That
in
is
place.
Correct. Okay. And if with the chair's permission, I'd like to make another comment. This is the only place in the Oregon State Police budget where we charge fees to our customers. We don't charge for forensic services. We don't charge for very complicated and comprehensive accident reconstruction services. We don't charge anybody for anything that we do. Our budget is heavily reliant on general fund, as you know, and the culture of our organization's history is we don't charge people for what we do. We provide a service. That's it. Over all the reductions of the last decade or so in general fund appropriations, we've seen more and more the reality of having to rely on fees in this particular part of our budget in order to pay our staff. But it results in some people paying fees and some people not paying fees, in some cases for the same services. And there's some inequities in that, which were testified to in our budget subcommittee hearings and elsewhere. And I think long-term, the goal ought to be that we get out of the business of charging fees for these services. But I don't know how to get there unless there's a supplemental appropriation of money to take care of that.
Okay.
So I have no intention to increase the fees further. At the same time, I got to keep my budget balanced. So,
well, that's interesting.
Yes, sir. That's where we're going.
I just want to make sure we're not stair-stepping.
No, sir. I'd like to stair-step the other way, all the way to the bottom if possible.
Thank you very much. Representative Henson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Two things. One, and I hope this wouldn't take too much time, but I'd like a very brief explanation of what the various fees are, like the clearinghouse fee. I obviously fingerprinting and record checks; those are. But the other question is, you have a lot of activity that goes on in this identification area.
Yes, sir.
Have you set up a criteria in terms of the fees, in terms of how much of this department should be supported by fees? How much of the workload is driven by the people that are paying the fees, or how much How are the fees allocated in relationship to the workload?
I'm going to make a brief...
Mr. Chair, I can take a stab at that, and then Mr. Weiss can add to it.
Actually, I want to move this ahead, and okay. So hopefully you'll be able to handle it.
Okay. The fees were set at... were basically set... These fees in the column that says current fee were set for these programs to pay their payouts a proportional amount of the full program, assuming no general fund. Senate Bill 954 was introduced or asked to be introduced by the department to make fees on concealed handguns, expungements, and firearms checks. That bill is not moving forward on the House side or considered, so those fees won't go up. So as a result, the program will be funded with roughly $3.5 million general fund and the remainder of about $11 million, a little less, with existing fees and this new revenue. Going through what these are, I cannot for the life of me remember what clearinghouse is, but the regulatory checks at the bottom are those checks at DHS, Teacher Standards Practices Board, and those kinds of checks by state agencies, nonprofits, and those that ask for background checks for employment purposes. And I can't remember what a clearinghouse is. I'm not sure
if you
can.
Could you go ahead and respond to that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Greg Williford from the superintendent's office. Clearinghouse is those nonprofit entities or groups, such as Little League coaches. Those are really that are in the nonprofit sector side where they don't have a structure in place to actually get access to criminal history data and checks. The reverse of that or the opposite of that is like teachers have a teacher standards and practices where they have access to that material and information through us. So it's the nonprofit side, essentially.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Henson.
Well, the final clarification, then, maybe Mr. Wilson. We've talked about the $11 million in fee-generated revenue versus $3 million in general fund. How close is that in terms of an allocation to the workload that's being covered by... that's being required to get the work done that these fees are paying for?
Roughly half of the total budget of this unit could be said to be sort of central functions. Maintenance of the databases, mm-hmm. upkeep of the databases, putting data into it, updating data. The other half can be tied sort of to the direct cost of the clients requesting information. The fees here on the current fee column will pay for 100% of all the costs, both the direct and indirect costs for these particular functions, or roughly at those levels. Those for firearms, concealed handguns, and all the other folks that use the system, like law enforcement agencies and others that use the LED system, which are these databases also, would be funded with their existing fees at a lower rate and general fund resources.
Okay. Chair would accept the motion on House Bill 5168. Representative, wasn't it?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I move we accept the recommendations, changes for fees. Bill, what is it?
5168.
5168. With a due pass recommendation, full committee.
Representative Wisnett moves the committee to accept House Bill 5168. We move to the full budget committee for the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I will assume that also includes the adoption of the -1 amendments that are attached.
And that includes, the motion does include the adoption of the -1 amendments as attached. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative
Bone?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
Aye.
Representative Hampton?
Aye.
Representative Woodness?
Aye.
Chair Richardson?
Aye.
So House Bill 5168 has been moved to full committee. And we carriers for the two bills. When I carry the first one, I'll carry 5167. And 5168, who hasn't carried a bill lately?
I'll do it.
Would you? Okay. Boom. And with that, we, without further comment, stand adjourned. Thank you. Question has begun.